Hey everybody, this is Steli Efti.
And this is Heaton Cha.
And in today's episode of the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about how to create a killer pitch deck.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit, we got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Done, yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
Now, there is, you know, a before we dive into what that means and the tips and tricks and tactics we've seen helping, you know, hundreds of thousands even of founders raise money and improve their pitch decks, I want to just tease that there's a product that Heaton is launching very soon that's going to be all about helping you improve your pitch deck. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more towards the end of this episode. And I think this is an exclusive. Nobody knows that this is coming, right?
No, I haven't really told anybody. I barely tell you about it. So yeah, but I've been working on it for a while.
That's so true. So you know, me and you know, all of you that are listening, we're gonna hear the first few kind of insights and intel on this new product that Heaton is launching. So I'm super excited about that. But yeah, that's just the tease. Let's actually jump into the topic of creating a killer pitch deck now. You know, I get maybe a handful of pitch decks a week sent to me where people ask me for feedback or for advice. I know for you, it must be a lot more, right? You've helped countless startups raise money and improve their pitch deck. So, you know, let's just dive right into it. When people today in 2017, when they sit down, open, you know, PowerPoint or Keynote or whatever they do, and they think, shit, I need to put together a presentation so I can go out and raise money. Where do people start and where shouldn't they start? What are some of the kind of mistakes people make that they should avoid? What's the framework that you would advise people to use when they start at zero?
Yeah, this is just a ridiculous topic just because it's the number one problem that startups have when it comes to just like fundraising in general. And the pitch deck is, you know, one of the statements. And again, I haven't shared a lot of this, so it's funny for me to actually talk about it. I usually share everything. I've just been working on it and focused. But basically what I like to say is the pitch decks are the new business plan. So back in the day, you had a business plan and people would use that to judge your business and they'd give you money. And that had a lot to do with starting with how, you know, people would go to the bank and get money for their business, or they would go to friends and get money for their business. This is how people got money for their business, right? And this is a long time ago. This is what historically happened. Then we had venture capital. Right. And a lot of things changed. And then we had technology and we could buy servers and we had more scale with software and, you know, all those kind of things. Like back in the day, you weren't able to actually raise money. I'm sorry. You weren't able to build a product until you raised money. So you needed this elaborate plan because people had to believe in what you were doing and that you thought through it. Now it's like you launch something, you get some traction, and then you're creating a pitch deck and raising money from a bunch of angels and stuff like that. That's the most common method today, which is people are getting really far before they raise money. So if you think about this, like even in Y Combinator, which I know you see a lot of YC applications and others, like, you know, your you know, pool of people who come to you for help is probably like people who are trying to get in YC and then people that are international founders. I would just imagine, right?
That's a good, yeah, that's, it's like YC founders and then, or people that want to get into YC, into 500 Startup, international and SaaS specific. But yeah, that's a good guess.
Right. So like that's like your pool. And like what's interesting about that is like all those folks, the majority of them, I bet, are coming to you and they already have something. They have something to talk about. They have a product.
It's very rare or almost, I almost never see somebody come that has nothing, just an idea. It doesn't happen. Yeah, you're right.
And so that's like what was really impactful to me when I thought about that, because there are so many traditional people out there that don't understand this. They don't understand that like a business plan isn't what you use to raise money. And I know most of our audience probably gets this, but if you don't, you need to understand that like getting a product out there, getting customers or users, and then raising money, that's what works today. That's the majority of what's out there. So we should start, I think, on that fundamental level, you know, before even moving on, because otherwise what happens is what you create is a pitch deck that looks like a business plan from 20 years ago. It's all made up, right? That's the biggest mistake people make, is they make the numbers up. They make guesses, they make hypotheses, but have no evidence that it's going to work. And that's the opposite of what you need in a pitch deck. You need actual In my opinion, it's like a story of what you've done, what you're doing right now, and what you're going to do in the future. And so as I've studied these things and realized like what works the best, it's actually this model where you talk about the past, you talk about where you're at now, so the present, and then you talk about the future. And what people forget is that investors are investing in the future. So most pitch decks I see, they don't have enough about what's going to happen next. They have so much about what's happening now. They don't even talk about the past and their own story of how they got here. And then they forget about the future. When an investor gives you money, so you can take that money and grow a business and make more money, right?
Yeah.
What's the other, like, there's no other point here.
And the main thing that people forget is that no matter how you want to use data, you want to use numbers, you want to use research, right? All that stuff is good, but it's all to support a story. At the end of the day, if I invest in the future, I need to, there is a requirement for me to be able to do that, which is I need to use my fantasy to either believe in your future or create a future that I find compelling as an investor. I need to buy into a storyline. I need to buy into that this thing is going to take off and this thing is going to have, as the world changes or as this thing changes the world, there's going to be a lot of value created and I'll be able to be part of that exciting ride. And too many people, they include in the pitch deck all the numbers, all the data, all the research, which is awesome. But then they leave the investor alone to come up with the story themselves and to come up with the future themselves. What does this mean for the future? How big could this really be? What is the trajectory of it? And that's too much work to be done to the audience, right? You really want to tell a compelling story. You really want to stimulate somebody's imagination and fantasy. And I love the format that you describe, which is like, tell people what happened in the past, you know, kind of take me on the journey of how you started and how you got here, where you are today and where you're going next. And why is this journey exciting? And why is it accelerating? And why is it fast? And why is it, you know, growing massively? That kind of, it's a simple format, but it's one that's very, very powerful.
Yeah. I mean, it's the ultimate way that I teach people how to make their pitch decks. And I've been doing a lot of that kind of work just so that I could build this product with my business partner. We've been doing a ton of work around pitch decks and storytelling and learning about it. And
when Heaton says putting together a killer pitch deck is the number one problem that people have when they raise money, that's not just opinion. You actually have done a ton of customer development and research and interviews and discovered that through data, not because you kind of just thought that that's important.
Yeah. I didn't realize how important it was, truthfully, Stelly. I thought it was like, you build a product, right? We know how to do that. And then you get some traction and then those numbers speak for themselves. But like, I've seen businesses that are great, making money, will grow in the future, that can't raise money because they can't tell their story at all.
Yeah.
And it is story.
What about adversity? So let me ask you, when somebody tells their story and they're like, here's the past, here's the present, here's the future, just like thinking about storytelling 101, how useful or valuable is it when they include some of the adversity? You know, when it's not just like, we had this idea and then boom, 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 we launched it and with all this growth and all this press and we had all these people and it's just going to be this massive ride and everything is great. Obviously, that's exciting, right? And you want to show that you are able to execute really fast and that things are moving at an exciting pace. But how do you feel about including, if it's authentic, not just making it up, but including maybe some of the oh shit moments when something goes wrong, when there's a big problem and how the team overcame that? Just thinking about like storylines and how to make them even more compelling. And if that's something that investors you think would want to hear and that would influence them getting even more excited in putting money into the company.
On all this stuff, it just goes back to investors want to invest in great business, right? And you as a founder, you want to build a great business. Is there anything more to it? That's the question that I would first pose to any entrepreneur. You want to build a great business. The investor wants to invest in a great business. So basically, your whole story, your whole pitch, even your whole execution should be designed around how does this turn into a great business? Not how does this look like a great business? Not how do I make up a story that, you know, is fake that makes this framed really good? No, it's like, do you have a great business? Is it attacking an important enough, large enough market, right? And I don't mean to talk about market size slides or anything. It's just like your own evidence against this, right? Like, for example, in your business, close.io. Someone, you know, early on could come in and say, oh, you're crazy. You're going after CRM. You could rebut them and say it's one of the biggest markets out there. Even if we get, you know, a little tiny, tiny portion of it, we can be a massive business. And let's not even talk about how many acquirers there are for a business like this, which you shouldn't talk about in your pitch deck, but it's just naturally where investors should go in their head when they think about market and market size. And it's not that you should show that. It's just that, like, this is an obvious, important problem. So important. Businesses are paying tons of money for it. And in your case, you had a very specific angle around it where you integrated a bunch of features into a single tool set, not a bunch, but really important ones with the calling and tracking of that and all that kind of stuff, right? So you had an entry point. And by the time you're, you know, if you had to give a pitch early on, you know, weren't NYC or anything, but you had some traction, you have a compelling pitch. You have customers, your salespeople yourself. So you've got the perfect story of like why you should be the one doing this. You were, you know, helping a bunch of salespeople, you know, and then you created this product because you needed it. You know, and then you pivoted your whole company into doing this. And now you've got a team attacking this problem. You even did some of the hard things like let go of a lot of salespeople that you were training and working with because you had to. I mean, the story is brilliant. It's great, right? But you know, I know a lot of people listening are like, oh, but this is Stelly. Yeah, fucking Stelly's awesome. Excuse my language. But like, that's not the point. Stelly made that story happen. If you know Stelly's story, you know, just like me, we were both dipshits at some point, right? With no clue what we were doing. Right. And many of you might think of yourselves like that. Not that you are dipshits. Don't get me wrong. But like, this is about how do you just logically take something and make it great? Like make it not even appear like a great business, but have all the metrics, have the traction. Right. And I think one of the most important things, there's a whole book on traction and all that. And I don't mean that kind of traction. I mean, literally you've de-risked parts of this business. So in your case, Stelly, you de-risked the fact that, you know, nobody would use your product if you put it out there because by that time someone was using it. In fact, you de-risked the fact that you knew the problem because you were doing customer development every day that you were making money in the consulting business by basically building the product, you know? And look, I'm telling the story in a way where I'm sure there was a lot of details I'm missing and all that. But at the end of the day, the investors don't care as much about the details. Honestly, what they care about is the essence of the story and the fact that it's true enough.
I love it.
And that's the start. That's a lot of the past stuff that people don't do. You know, they don't describe themselves in that way. They don't talk about a big trend like, hey, because of Twilio, this technology is easier than ever to do and nobody's integrated it at all or well into CRM today. Just as an example, you know, I don't know if you guys are using Twilio or not. I don't even know if that made your life easier, but either way, I can point to trends that you could put in your past type of deck that would show the evidence that there's less risk than an investor might be thinking initially because you are attacking a CRM market with a massive set of incumbents.
So there's a lot in here. I think that one thing that always surprises me is how, you know, how people sometimes have a hard time to see what the most compelling part of their story is, even if it stares them in the face, right? So people a lot of times just haven't learned to tell their story in a really compelling way. I was just meeting with a 500 startup team the other day, and they were telling me about the company. And, you know, we talked for like 40 minutes about everything they had done. And then eventually he made the side comment that I was just like, holy shit, you should always start telling the company story, but telling this. Because he had built something that allows people that are not in a great finance school to get a really amazing job in finance by, you know, playing this stock market game during class and getting really top ratings and then having big investment firms use the software, so similar to like a Stack Overflow, to hire interns or hire talent based out of kind of their trading history during school over the last 6, 9, 12 months or whatever. And the compelling part of the story, they have a lot of traction. They build a really cool product. There's a lot that's going on that's really, really nice. But the thing that to me stood out and made it even more distinct and interesting was that the reason he started it, there's a backstory where he has an older sister, and his older sister is kind of the overachiever in the family. And he's always been like number two. And she got into the best school ever and got the greatest job ever. And he got into a shitty school so he couldn't get a job in finance. And then, you know, he had to do all these things to kind of display that he's really good at certain things and get a job in finance. which made him come up with this idea, right? And now he's proven it. They helped hundreds of students land really great jobs, out of schools that typically don't have a good success rate when it comes to that. But the thing that drives him, the backstory of like having a sister that always overachieves and him not getting into a good school and struggling getting the job he wanted, that is like such a compelling part of the story, to me at least, that explains the big why. Like, why did he do this? Why did he come up with the idea? What's driving him? And it's a why that connects with many, many people. There's so many talented, incredibly smart people that just, you know, didn't make the perfect choices when they were young. So they're not in the right school. They don't have the setup to be the, you know, to have the biggest jumping board to massive success, but they're still incredibly talented, and we're not tapping into that human potential pool. How do we help these people get the best jobs possible? How do we help companies find these talented people, even if they're not in the ivory, you know, A++ biggest, best school ever in the world? And that's such a powerful part. And he totally, like, he just said it as a side comment after talking to me for an hour and would have never thought about making that part of his storyline or pitch.
Oh man, I love that. I mean, I know this episode's basically over just on that note for a bunch of reasons. Well, and I'll summarize, and then we should make it over. I think this is a topic we'll keep talking about for a bunch of reasons. One, I have a product I'm building that can help anybody. It's free to use. Two, you and I deal with this every day. You know, like people hit us up and we're like, we're able to grab their story out. So the point I'll make that's really big here is like the amount of businesses that are started every year, especially on the startup side that are seeking funding, is increasing. Even if some years it dips a little bit, it's just increasing. That means investors are seeing so many new things every day, every week, like every year. And it's just hard for them to parse like what's good, what's bad. They're looking for signal. They're trying to figure it out. And more importantly, there's a story that you need to tell them. There's a reason you're doing this that they will remember. Like what you just said, I will never forget. I don't know the company name. I don't know anything, but like, I won't forget the story you told me about how his sister was an overachiever, got in colleges and was ahead of him, so to speak. And he wanted that and he couldn't get it for whatever reason, right? That's a struggle. If you think about like superheroes and your origin story, that is so classic. And you were able to dig that out in like 2 minutes of an hour conversation that he had, right? And then you probably told him, like he said, you recommended to him, he starts there with a story. One of the reasons you do that though, which is really powerful, is then you get passionate about the rest of the deck. You get passionate about the rest of the pitch. And so I would say you nailed it. You got exactly like kind of what I end up teaching people over and over again. And I almost feel like a magician sometimes because like you just let them keep talking and then you're like, wait, that little thing right there that you think is not that important, that's the whole story. You start with that, it almost doesn't matter what you say on the rest of that deck. Because they're going to remember that and they're going to have a way to share your unique story with whoever they need to in their partnership, other investors, whoever, so that it becomes a compelling thing that they want to do. And so all I can say there is just like start the story with why you did it. I think what you said about it being, you know, your why, super important. And that's almost like, you know, maybe 1/100th of what we can say about pitch deck, it turns out.
That's awesome. So two things. Number one.
Go for it.
If you want to learn more about storytelling for entrepreneurs, listen to episode number 60. Heaton and I talk a lot more about storytelling and our storytelling techniques there. And then if you want to hear about our entrepreneurial origin stories, listen to episode number 15. And then the third thing is, you know, I know that a lot of founders today, when they start the pitch deck, the first thing they do is they go to Google, they type in pitch deck templates, pitch deck, successful raising money, pitch deck. There's a lot of older decks that have gotten all the SEO juice because of whatever reason, that pitch decks that are, you know, 7-8 years old, and every day you get these decks and I get them too, where I know exactly which Google result they got because I've seen the same template so many times and it's not working. It's not working anymore and it's not working for them. So, and that's a big part why you're developing a product that's going to help a lot more people rather than just reading some article that's 7 years old and copying somebody's pitch deck there. So I advise people don't do that. And instead, if people want to be, you know, early on board when it comes to using your pitch deck software, Heaton, how do they do it? Is there a landing page or can they contact you? If I listen to this and I'm like, yes, I'm trying to put together a pitch deck and I want Heaton's help and I want to use this product, what do I do next?
Yeah, the name of the product, which I've never shared with anybody.
Ooh, I don't know it either.
is Dougo, D-O-G-O. Because of my business partner's branding skills, it's all lowercase. So D-O-G-O, all lowercase. We don't own the .com yet, but we have getdougo.com. We say a Dougo. It's not Doggo or anything like that, but that's okay. People will butcher it. We're ready for that. So it's getdougo.com. And if you go there and it's not live yet, then you can always email me. hnshah@gmail. And I'll happily give you access. It's only valuable to you as of today when you are raising money or when you're actually before you're raising money, when you're making your pitch deck and want to get feedback on it and then want to share it with investors. So yeah, that's my short blurb about it. And it's free to use. We're not charging for anything and we might never charge for anything. Not sure yet. Just want to build it because, again, super important problem. And it almost feels like we could have 50 episodes on this.
So awesome. I'm so excited about it. GetDOGO.com. Super pumped. And that is it for us for this episode.
Thanks.